What's up, y'all? Well, before I came on here, I went live on Instagram. And please tell me you can hear me. Everyone knows the big folly that I encountered last week. And I actually, this week was a little bit smoother. Technically, I got some things fixed on my computer. I did it on myself, of course. And the whole thing is when there's uncertainty of technology. Now, let me explain that. Uncertainty of technology. Horns to you, my brother. What's up by your mic? Certainty of technology, uncertainty and certainty of technology means just this. One, you hope that it works. That's the uncertainty. Two, it's a miracle it works. Holy shit, it works. That's certainty. It works. Cool. It's gonna benefit me somewhat in somewhat way, some way, whatever. But uncertainty always creeps up. Because there's this thing called Murphy's Law. Whatever could go wrong will go wrong. And I've been noticing that that has happened this entire year with people using laptops, using cell phones, their internet connection, basically anything that needs to work for you, especially for your telecommute, has to work, and sometimes it doesn't. And oh my God, doo-doo-doo. Only the real ones will understand that one. As a matter of fact, I was stumbling across this old video of I think it was AT&T DSL. When it first came out. And it was like a whopping 5 to 7 to 10 megabits per second or something like that. But I'm surprised we've come this far with all of this and it still works. Yeah, it has its moments. Yeah, it doesn't always work the way it's supposed to, but we've gotten this far, not just with technology, but with medicine, with vehicles, all this shit. And I'm just really impressed. And for most people, I know the future freaks them out. I look forward to the future and what's capable. Even after I'm no longer on this earth, I want to be a part of it while I'm still here. And technology took care of my hair falling off. Oh, damn. Sorry to hear that, man. Sorry to hear that. Well, don't pull it. Shit, man. Don't pull it. But as you know, a lot of crazy shit has been happening. Obviously, this whole thing in Boulder is fucking tragic and scary at the same time. But I if this is going back to normal, this is terrifying. This does not need to be the new normal. It doesn't. And, it sucks. It sucks because we haven't had, well, it sucks because there's a morbid fucking scorecard online that I saw where there's mass shootings for each administration in the United States. And compared to other countries and their gun violence, we're not even close, man. Our numbers are pretty fucking high. And considering that, for example, Chicago, aka Chirac. And yes, Boris, before I continue on, yes, heart goes out to all the families in Colorado. tragic loss. It's fucked up. You know, how much more of this can happen? And man, it's fucking sucks. But Chirac, for example, Chicago, they've had a really bad gun violence issue for quite some time. I mean, for crying out loud, there's this thing called a shot clock. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. Let me see if I can pull it up. And I didn't even know this thing existed, and it does. And I didn't even know that you can technically see it. And it's just disturbing. It's like, what? There's a bunch of other stuff there too that they spotlight. And you know, you hate to talk about the big white elephant in the room, but it's there. It's not going anywhere. So you can literally Google Chicago shot clock. You click on the very first search result, and this is what it shows. I might need to zoom in a little bit for you guys to see. That's what it shows. A person is shot every 2 minutes? No, 2 hours and 6 minutes. A person is murdered every 11 hours and 6 minutes. That's what it says. Then you go to the other links that appear. And the source is heyjackass.com. But it's Illustrating Chicago Values. I guess that's what the... And they got a Twitter, they got a Facebook, they got a YouTube. They got a contact email. They got an Instagram and a Telegram. They have this thing called March to Date. Shot and killed 30. Shot and wounded 187. Total shot 217. Total homicides 31. I mean, on top of what happened today in Colorado, which truly fucking sucks, this has been going on as well. And it can't be ignored. I always say it can't be ignored. It should not be ignored. And it also gives you a homicide map, which is crazy. This is trippy, man. Obviously, the blue parts is kind of where nothing really happens. Then you get in the red right here. And then if there's a gray or black area, I don't really see it, but it's sad, man. It's fucking sad. And you know what? What else are you gonna do? Gun reform this, gun reform that, but that shit takes time. Everyone forgets these laws don't just automatically flip overnight. They don't. There's still a process when it comes to this stuff, but. Yeah, that's a thing that a lot of people have ignored on top of all the mass shootings that we've had. And right now, what's happening in LA, for example, there's been crime on the rise. And all fingers are pointing, of course, to the new district attorney in LA. And all the initiatives that he's passing, and a lot of people have been vocal about it. A lot of people have been petitioning for his recall. And the gentleman's name is George Gascon. George Gascon has a rap sheet. He served, I forgot what police chief here in LA as an assistant, or I don't even know what the term is, but he used to be here in LA as well during the Rampart scandal days. And I really don't know much about if he was involved in all that, but nonetheless, it's imperative to be in tune with a lot of your local representatives. And I mean that because everyone takes to social media to complain. Everyone takes to social media to talk shit, but yet they can't name their local district representative. For example, in our district, it's Ted Chow, for example. And the other one is, I believe her name is Ila Solis. And Ila Solis has been around for quite some time, but it's something as simple as just Google searching it. And then what it shows you is, for example, on the Facebook app, there's this little sidebar that says town hall. And in the town hall, it gives you all the government services. And you can tap on the second screen. It'll give you local representatives. Ila Solis, in my case, is the Los Angeles supervisor for LA District 1. And then your state representative, of course, this is the one I was referring to, is Ed Chow. He's the California State Assembly member for District 49. Javier Becerra is the Attorney General of California, and so on and so on. And of course, then there's Gavin Newsom, who's the governor of California, who is, quite frankly, not on everyone's good side. And the Lieutenant Governor of California is Eleni Colonakis. There you go. And then, of course, you have your federal representatives, which is Judy Chu, U.S. Representative for California District 27, Alex Padilla, U.S. Senator for California, Dianne Feinstein, of course. Then Joe Biden's the President of the United States, Kamala Harris the Vice President. So it's good to know this stuff. And I mean that because instead of basically talking so much shit back and forth with people, you know, do something about it. So, you know, it's imperative that people at least know. And yeah. And oh my God, Roger is up. What's up, dude? Talk pedo here. Cause I nonamis. Cállate, güey. And whatever that means. Talk pedo here because I'm a nonamis. Oh, Kyle Edward Guerrero. What's up? Talk about LAUSD teachers suing for mandating COVID vaccines. That's interesting. I've heard about that happening. And I don't think it should be mandatory, to be honest with you. You know, I'm pro-vax, but, you know, I to this day, I always say I'm in no position to tell you what the fuck to do with your body ever. And it's been like that for years with me. I'm like, I don't know. I have my own opinions of what things mean to me and the perspectives that I share. But it shouldn't be one of those cases where, okay, I need to get this particular vaccine to go back to work. If I don't get it, then I don't go back to work. That's not fair. And, you know, not everyone needs to get it. But then again, there's this whole thing where I don't even know if it's been distorted just with time or what, or what's been happening, but it's really sad because it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't. And I know a lot of parents too, they don't plan on sending their kids back to campus. I mean, I originally didn't want to either, and not necessarily because of a health risk, because the data has clearly shown that the kids are not really as impacted. And Kyle says, correct, amen, brother, everyone's choice. Absolutely, man. I mean, I've been pro-choice for forever, and it's, I don't know, man, I don't get it. I mean, Roger says, did you see the story of a baby born with COVID antibodies because the mom got the vaccine 3 weeks before she gave birth? Whoa, no shit. That is fucking crazy. Now, all right, I got two things we can look up here. Hold on, let me find that LAUSD lawsuit. That's so fucking crazy. if only a fraction of the population is vaccinated, why are we opening so quickly? That's the other thing too. It's like, I know here's the way I've understood, I guess the concept of herd immunity work is not everyone has to get vaccinated. Maybe at least maybe 40 to 50% of the population that has really, you know, pre-existing, like really bad pre-existing conditions. They're seniors, of course. That makes up for, you know, a big percentage of the population. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't no fucking expert on this shit, but I've been on this earth 40 years to at least see one or two things that make sense, that doesn't make sense. But nonetheless, I'm not a health expert and I don't claim to be one. When there's a pandemic is from what I've been looking at, like, for example, what was it? Swine flu. I remember swine flu was pretty big back in 2003. And then we had MERS. I don't remember. And I remember at the time I was working at the Montebello Mall at Radio Shack. And there was this weird vibe going around, but no one really kind of fed into it because it wasn't really fear-mongered like the stuff that goes on now. And it's kind of sick, man. I mean, I've always had a love-hate relationship with mainstream media. To this day, I mean, for crying out loud, I wrote a song called Fuck the Radio. And it's crazy, but let me look at that LUSD swing. For mandating vaccines, let me see. Oh, this was 10 hours ago that it hit. Okay, so let's read into this. This is interesting. And then I want to read about that baby that was born with the COVID antibodies. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. All right, so the source here is thecentersquared.com. Los Angeles Unified School District sued over mandatory vaccine. Okay, I don't want to subscribe. Thank you. Digital tracking policy. Okay. So here's what's happening here. Obviously, they use a Shutterstock.com stock footage, whatever. So Bethany Blanke of the Center Square contributor. The Center Square is a contributor who wrote this. Okay, so California Educators for Medical Freedom, with assistance from the Health Freedom Defense Fund, has sued the Los Angeles Unified School District over its mandatory vaccine policy and digital tracking system. So both violate federal law and basic human rights, the plaintiffs argue. Okay, that's the argument. The second largest school district in the United States is mandating that its employees be vaccinated as a condition of employment. Now, here's the thing. Not everyone is eligible to get it. And I know this because I know people that aren't eligible health-wise to receive this vaccine. For crying out loud, they can't receive even a flu shot. So, yeah, you have to present medical exemption. But at the same time, you shouldn't be mandated to get it. Like, you shouldn't be forced to get it. That's like saying I'm allergic to alcohol, right? And you're going to disinfect a wound, for example, with alcohol or whatever, then yeah, I'm going to grow allergic to it. You know, obviously you have to disclose that you're going to disinfect my wound with alcohol. And I could say, no, I'm allergic to it. But like, no, this is the only way we're going to have to know. If you're deathly allergic to something, then you can't do it. But in this case, I know it's a vaccine. There's a lot of subjective banter about it, but it's fine. I mean, that's what the discussions are here for. It's just when it gets irrational that, you know, I lose interest because some people are just too fucking extra for me and they need to calm the fuck down and smoke a joint, dude. But the second largest school district in the United States is mandating that its employees be vaccinated as a condition of employment. The lawsuit claims the mandate is not only unconstitutional, but it is unethical and violates the most fundamental human rights laws. Okay, so that's the thing right there. The lawsuit claims the mandate is not only unconstitutional, which of course we have to cite and research how it is unconstitutional, and it's unethical and violates the most fundamental human rights law. So this stuff right here, remember, a lot of people don't read nowadays. I know this for a fact. And I have to make sure, I should even start a fucking series. Like, I read it so you won't have to. I know people do that online. But all this shit is fucking subjective. What I mean by subjective, it deserves an opinion. It deserves a second opinion. It deserves a discussion. It deserves to have a dialogue to be had. But yeah, it's crazy. Roger said, I knew it would happen. Didn't I say this in the last cast? Yes, you did, actually. You called it, bro. It is the new normal. But we'll see. What's up, Daryl? What's up, my man? And okay, so right there, that's subjective right there. That's something that definitely has to be looked into with a fine tooth comb. You can't just fucking go off of headlines and whatnot. And if you're like me, I geek out and I'll read, you know, House representative bills, you know, midway. Like, I won't get to the 600th page. I'll get to like maybe page 250 or whatever. Plus, sometimes I cheat. I have this thing that converts everything into a podcast, so you can just listen to it. That's just my method of doing it. So, but yeah, it's here's the one thing that they highlight in this article is that unlike traditional vaccines that inject part of a virus into the body to create an antibody, the Pfizer and Moderna shots inject genetic technology to alter the body's approach to create an antibody. Now, like, this is crazy because everyone thinks that's a bad thing. It's not. Ray Kurzweil was talking about this in his documentary back in the day. I think it's called The Singularity. I think that's what it's called. But he claimed that nanotechnology single-handedly was going to be the main route and solution to beating the aging. I forgot how he quoted it. I watched it a long time ago. Basically, nanotechnology is going to help us live a little bit longer, not die as quick, because of the resulting, resulting things that it's going to be capable of doing, which is pretty crazy. It's some Terminator shit, if you ask me. And sorry, there's a bug flying around that I'm trying to kill. So, of course, that's the uncertainty that I'm talking about. Yeah, it creates the antibody, but that's pretty badass if you ask me. There's genetic technology that it's altering your body's approach to creating an antibody. That's fucking science at its fucking prime right there. But the shots are not vaccines, according to the CDC's definition of a vaccine. Numerous doctors have pointed out, including Dr. Stephen Hotz, whatever his name is, in Houston, who has sued Governor Greg Abbott over several emergency orders related to the coronavirus. The injections being pushed out by public officials and healthcare providers are new genetic engineering technology, which have never been introduced to the public, and involve injecting a genetic sequence, a messenger, an RNA, of course, into the body. The mRNA prompts the body to manufacture a spike protein believed to be on the surface of SARS-CoV-2, whatever, that is supposed to cause the body to create an antibody response. Shit, if that works, yeah, why not take it? That's pretty fucking marvelous, man, if you ask me. The aging process to keep cells healthy and die slower. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they talk about this shit for a long time, man. It's no secret. I mean, Ray Kurzweil, if you guys don't know who he is, he's the inventor of the Kurzweil keyboard. I believe Stevie Wonder was the one that used it exclusively. And it's so crazy because he, Kurzweil also had a bunch of predictions too. He famously predicted that the technological singularity, the crucial moment when machines become smarter than humans will occur in our lifetime. And look what we're fucking seeing right now with AI. It's so fucking crazy. But yeah, again, this is subjective. This needs to be looked into. Do I feel like it needs to be mandated? It's like mandatory to get vaccinated to go back to work. No, you shouldn't. As a matter of fact, if you're not vaccinated, you're the one that's at risk. If you kind of look at it that way, because this is the way I've always seen it. If I'm vaccinated, you're the one that's, you know, I'm basically the biohazard. I'm the one that's carrying it. I can get you sick, but if you're willing to deal with that, then that's fine. That's on you, you know, but again, not every immune system is created equally. People need to fucking realize that, and they don't. And quite frankly, this is just me. It's for teachers, it is mandatory. Well, here's the thing is that there's a lot of teachers that do have pre-existing conditions. And yeah, totally. Yeah. I honestly feel like, yeah, you should, if you feel like you have really bad issues with a lot of health issues, then yeah, get it. Why not? I mean, I know a lot of people that have gotten it, you know, so far so good. I mean, 100% of the people I spoke with, you know, nothing. I haven't got mine yet. I need to go get it because I work in education and I need to. And for me, I want to get it. You know, I'm interested in this part of science, regardless of, you know, science is not perfect. Everyone knows that. And in order to find that out, you have to have people during trials. You have to monitor all that shit. And that's totally fine, man. And I'm all for it. I mean, I know a lot of people who are terrified of science. That's why they go to holistic studies and whatnot. And that's totally fine, man. If that's your jam, I don't care. As long as like, you're not a pedophile, you're not a serial killer, you're not fucking a domestic terrorist or a racist. That's whatever. Do you, it's fine. As long as you don't hurt me and my family. If we could vibe, we could vibe. If not, then, you know, no hard feelings, man. Go do your shit. To enter any federal building or public schools, you're going to have to present proof of your vaccinations. Well, that's how it is with my child. When I enroll them in school, you know, they ask for your vaccination record. That's what you're supposed to have. And, you know, I don't think it should be mandatory for children because the data clearly has shown that they're the demographic that is least impacted by it. So, and what's up, Carter? I've gotten number one. Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I still need to get my number one. So, yeah, I know, Daryl. It's crazy, man. You know, Carlos, it's funny because I was just talking to someone that is also diabetic and high risk. So you got the vaccine and didn't have any symptoms after both shots. So everyone is different. Yeah, totally. And then quite the contrary, I had this other diabetic buddy that, you know, had a really bad headache for like a whole day. And then the next day, fine. It was fine. And like I said, man, I mean, for people who have been impacted by it, for example, here's the thing too. A lot of these people, anti-maskers and all this shit, they're like that because quite frankly, and this is just my personal experience, they haven't had anyone close to them die due to the results of COVID-19. I've had two people, one of them being my best friend. And yeah, it hits home, man. Once you feel that, but then again, quite the contrary. Of course, I never forgot that, Carter, and I never forgot your awesome technological insulin machine that you carry with you now. There was this friend of mine, I won't disclose it, his name until he gives me permission to. He works at a hospital. He is a nurse practitioner, and there's that fucking bug again. God damn it. He told me that there was people literally on their deathbed. They're gonna die. And they were in denial about what was the cause of their, you know, terminal illness. And they kept telling me, yeah, you're suffering from the effects of COVID-19. They're like, no, 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 that's not it. So the denial was so bad, man. So fucking bad. And, you know, at first I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it got. But then once it hits home, then no, first it struck my household. And then it struck a couple of my friends. And then before I knew it, my best friend got really sick, got admitted to ICU, and he didn't make it. You know, he didn't. Same with my other buddy too. He didn't make it. My other buddy didn't make it at all. He only lasted days. But then I have friends that, you know, are asthmatic. And fucking pull through like champs, man. They had to fucking do it. You know, it's crazy. So, let's see, Ed, Kyle, personal health equals personal risk. Studies show obesity is number one risk factor. Totally. Should diet and exercise be mandatory too? Total BS. Well, here's the diet and exercise doesn't necessarily guarantee, good health. A lot of it, you know, has been, yeah, it's a big contributing factor to good health. I totally agree with that. But I know a lot of healthy people that get sick too. That's the crazy part. Like I knew like three or four people last year, early, like in March, total health nuts, gym rats, personal training, the whole nine, and they got hit with COVID really bad and they didn't understand why. I didn't understand why. That's really the bizarre part to me. Like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, it's picking and choosing who it wants to fuck up and whatnot. But, you know, the obesity factor, yeah, definitely. But then again, I know a lot of chubby people and a lot of obese people that power through it, that then were asymptomatic. So that is, you know, above my pay grade. I don't know how that even works. And for example, right now I have a friend, shout out to Guillermo Gonzalez. I love you, brother. He's still fighting for his life in the ICU, but he's making so much progress. And it's so crazy because his shout out to his brother, Jerry. Today he spoke with his nurse. He's doing good with no fevers. All of his vitals are within normal limits. And today he did have physical therapy treatment and worked to get up, even though he's in pain. He's waiting for speech therapy to come and see him to evaluate him to see if he can pass the swallow test to finally be taking off tube feeding. So let's all pray for Guillermo that he doesn't get nervous and does well. My old buddy, high school buddy, and you know, after high school buddy, you know, I've known him for a while, has been in the hospital since I think February, man, the beginning of February or last week of January. And he's fucking pulling through, man. This is fucking crazy. That's how strong this dude is. And yeah, man, it gets more, but then, you know, Roger brings up that a lot of people have high cholesterol and high blood pressure. I have both of those. You know, I take medication for high blood pressure, and you know, I was part of that, you know, that bubble that caught, you know, COVID, and I didn't catch it. I came out negative, and even if I did catch it, I was asymptomatic. But then again, I rarely get sick, and this is just my personal experience. I'm just going to share it. The last time I really got sick was the week of my wedding, December 2013. I got hit with the flu really fucking bad. Really bad. And after that, I'm like, they would offer me flu shots at my doctor's visit, and I went ahead and took it. Ever since then, this is just me, like I said, not every immune system is created equally. Ever since then, I have not gotten sick, and it's been, yeah, going on 7 years. And then I tested for M antigen. I was M antigen positive when my wife was pregnant with my son. They had me get tested for the M antibody, M antigen positive. So to this day, I am M antigen positive. What does that mean? We'll look it up right now, but let's see. You guys are on a roll here. My brother-in-law had COVID and he was testing positive for 6 weeks, I believe it. And he does get tired faster than he used to, but he's also healthy and works out daily. And you know what? I fucking said that about Cam Newton this past football season. He was doing great, what, the first two, three weeks of the season. Then he gets sick, right? And they cleared him after like 6 days, was never the same after that. I know for a fact people who are professional athletes are, I've told me countless number of times, yo, I don't have the same gas tank that I have. I get tired a lot easier. And I'm just like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. Kyle said, there's always exceptions. It's a numbers game, just like with vaccine injuries. We should be able to choose our own risks. Prayers to those affected. Yeah, that ultimately is what it comes down to. You should choose, like, for example, jumping out of a plane, which is on my bucket list. That's choosing your own risk. Me driving Monday to sometimes Saturday on the 10 freeway heading towards Hollywood, that's a risk factor. I could easily taken the bus. I could have, took an Uber, but even those are risk factors. That's ultimately what it comes down to. So Roger says, shit, look at me. Every time I see my doctor for a checkup, they expect me to be diabetic or have hypertension, but all my vitals are normal. Yes, you're fucking healthier than me. That's so crazy, dude. He said, yep, let's do it. Yeah, man, it's crazy. But let me get back to this M antigen thing that I tested positive for, that I had no idea what the fuck it was. And it's okay. First, let me show you what I learned about the antibody in pregnancy. And this is what really fucking kind of freaked me out. Would you say? Because I sleep a lot. Sleep is good. Shut up. You know this. I know this. We all know this. Sleep is good. All right, so this is the M antigen thing that I had to get tested for because my wife was pregnant with my son. So the abstract is, our three cases represent the spectrum of findings when maternal anti-M is present. Now, let me skim through this real quick. Okay, yeah, so see, this first one is, in the first case, the father's genetic makeup, NN, indicated no disease would occur. In the second case, despite antibody capable of crossing the placenta, the infant did not become sick. In the third case, hemolytic anemia required transfusion of the newborn, despite a negative direct Coombs DAT. This is a lot of medical terminology that kind of goes over my head. So, but what it basically comes down to is this. I don't know if they summarize it here, but what they summarized it to me was that it's an antibody that will basically attack the embryo. That's crazy. So what does it mean to have antibody M? In summary, antibody M antibody is an uncommon cause of hemolytic disease of the newborn. When anti-M IgG, optimally reactive at 37 degrees C, is identified in the maternal blood, the paternal blood must be checked for the presence of M antigen. If the father has M antigen, the fetus may be at risk. Yeah, that's what they told me. And that was crazy. Like, I didn't even know that. And this is also the antibody that kills streptococcus. So that's like strep throat. That was fucking crazy. And I don't know what this says here. Here's the thing. Anti-M is rarely clinically significant. So it wasn't a big deal to begin with. But the M antigen is located on the red blood cell surface glycoprotein known as glycophorin A. So again, I am antigen M positive. So, and of course it summarizes again with the pregnancy, the risk. I know how to get tested with the patients with sickle cell disease. I don't have any of that. Prenatal testing. I forgot where it said it does. It does not like the streptococcus strain, and it'll kill it. That's fucking crazy. I had no idea I had that until I actually went and got tested. I was like, "What the fuck?" So yeah, that's crazy. Kyle said, "My last flu was when we recorded at Pinnacle College." Yeah, which time? You've been in like 4 times, man. Carlos said, "It's just an excuse for them to give you meds and fuck your system up slowly. Get out of drugs." They find that when they do the Rh test during pregnancy. Yeah, it's like I said, it was crazy, dude. I never thought, like, who the fuck thinks of that, you know? Obviously, when you follow up with your appointments, you take care of all that other stuff, like during the first trimester and all that. Totally fucking cool, man. Totally cool. I like, again, this is science, man. This is science. And yes, cocaine. Cocaine's all of a drug. Nonetheless, the other thing too, I mean, there's a couple of like thought provoking questions that I stumbled across. And I came up on one that I wanted to answer, and I'll show you guys what it is. And this is what the question asked. What is the one thing you'd be really disappointed if you never get to experience? And I had to sit and think about this one. Like, what is that one thing that I'd be really disappointed if I never got to experience? Interesting. Wait, but before I answer that question, Roger has a comment. It's all because people went through crap in the past and medical science developed these techniques to better our lives. Absolutely. I mean, life expectancy took a bit of a downfall, but you know, it'll be back up before you know it. So, but back to this question, what is the one thing you'd be really disappointed if you never get to experience? Well, the first thing I would be disappointed is not being able to jump out of a fucking plane, skydiving. So that's on top of my bucket list right now. The other thing would probably be, man, this is tough. So I've done a lot of things, but, you know, jumping out of a plane, skydiving, I haven't done that. Maybe pet a tiger. That's not fucking in the wild. Man, go to a Super Bowl game, an actual Super Bowl game. I mean, I went to WrestleMania. I got to experience that. That was pretty cool. Thanks to my homie Aaron. But an actual Super Bowl game, and I don't care who plays. I just wanted to go to a Super Bowl game. Because I've been to NFL games, obviously, but nothing like the Super Bowl. I think that would be the other thing, too. And I think the only other thing I would... Damn. I don't know. What'd you say? Shit, I put on my VR headset on you, put a fan in front of you, and then hang you from the ceiling. Dang. And there's that fucking bug again. Trying to get it. Get the fuck out of my shit. Did I get it? I don't know where the fuck it's coming from. Anthony Marrero, what's up? And I'm trying to kill this bug, but I'm saying hi to you. Here somewhere. Yeah, so that was one of the questions too. And it's trippy how a lot of this shit works out too. Because when you think of a bucket list, like you think about something like this, like like the notorious question, like, what do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Okay, you have that vision, right? And then what do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Then you kind of struggle to hit that. So the next 10 years, whatever. Kyle said, eat a raw fish with Bear Grylls. Damn. Okay. But then you like, oh, next 15 years, next 20 years, like, do you think that far ahead? And my answer to that is no. I mean, I have a, you know, maybe 10 years. Like in 10 years, I'll be 50. I turned 40 this year. So, you know, I have goals for the next 10 years. And one of them, of course, is to be a homeowner. That's the first thing. The second thing is to begin investing. And I'm not talking about the day trading thing. Of course, Kyle can elaborate a little bit more on that topic, but begin investing in me to build something. Like, for example, everyone knows that I wanted to take this podcast and take it to a bigger platform, but you know, that's careful planning. You need the space, and it's one step at a time. I already took care of a couple steps. Now the next steps are coming. So, and Roger said a homo sapien, dick, but be a homeowner, start investing, build something. I mean, it could just be something as simple as having a company that actually caters to this podcast platform and then some. It doesn't have to be live. It could be a specialized virtual studio. I mean, I know a lot of people have had ideas of what to do, but that's kind of, you know, how far I go. But then when you start talking about like 20 years and shit like that, that's when it gets deep. Like I'll be 60 in 20 years. You know, it's, you know, that's where the uncertainty, you know, comes into play. Being at a USC versus Notre Dame game in South Bend is on my bucket list. Oh, that would be rad, dude. Homo owner. Wow. A hobo. Wow. You guys are getting really colorful today. It's really funny. Yeah, that would be something that, you know, I really kind of have to think about. Like, this is where the financial planners come and hit you up and they ask you, like, where do you see yourself in that time span? And you got to dig in. And it's something that you really don't think about because you're too busy living day to day, which is not bad. It's carpe diem type shit. But it's again, it's the elephant in the big white elephant in the room, and you can't ignore it. You know, it's, you know, it's part of the drill, I guess. Yes, fight on. Sweet 16, here we come. But what's up, Maganya? I got you on the homeowner girl, bro. Come on. I know you, man. I know your spill. And the thing is I've me and my wife have been going through it for some time because, you know, my sister-in-law is the one that does our home loan stuff. And of course, you know, it's always a connection. Like she's the one that's doing our home loan stuff. And then, you know, she has her friend and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's not even that, like you can have all those connections, but we've lost offers only because, you know, it's part of the game. I mean, I know we're not going to win them all. Plus, you know, it's my goal too is to save up enough money for a bigger down payment, because that's kind of the goal we didn't have. So that's where the 5-10 year plan comes in. And it's easier said than done, but yeah, you got to eliminate a lot of shit. Because one thing for sure is I like to spend money, dude. And I'm usually the guy that, no hard feelings, Maganya. I love you, brother. I'm always the guy that will cover your fucking like 2, 3, even 5 beers at the bar, not even bat an eye, not even having a conscious of, actually, you know, the more I drink, the more you could take advantage of me. So thank you. I appreciate that, Magana. I appreciate it, man. OG, triple OG. If your dream Ghana is out of state, would you? Dude, come on, man. Dream home is out of state. I don't know, man. I mean, seriously, Roger, I think the only fucking place I would move to at this point, only because I visited that place and at least I'll know people there, is Albuquerque, New Mexico. But why would I move there? For what reason? Yeah, that's what I would be up for discussion. It's because it's like, you know, preferably, I mean, obviously I would love to stay in California, but you got to move to certain areas in California, of course, to afford it. Now, if, you know, the dream home is in Henderson, Nevada, for example. I visited Henderson, Nevada, and it's pretty badass. The only thing is, it's Nevada, you know, it's kind of Vegas, but I don't know, man. That's the crazy part. And then, you know, I've been to Boise, Idaho, but I don't know. Boise's cool, man, but I don't see myself moving to Boise. Yeah, Anthony, it's because you're moving there, so you want me to go with you. No, Vegas, I totally vibe with it. I like Vegas a lot, actually. I'm only doing it because I want to build and leave something for my girls. Totally, dude. 100%. I feel you on that, dude. And, you know, it's something that I've always had in my mind because I mean, me growing up without a dad and not having that guidance early in life, I had to learn what contribution and growth was later on in life. And the more you get to know it, and then you have a family, and it's like, that's kind of what makes you, what sparks that selflessness. So Magana says, what city do you like out there? The only city I vibed in Nevada, to be honest with you, was Henderson. And I believe it was North Las Vegas. That's just being completely honest, man. And, I don't know, man. Would I take the dive over there? Here's the other thing too, is I have to move with the certainty that will I be doing the same thing that I'm doing now, like working in education? I don't know, man. I mean, that's crazy. So, but no, out in California, the only places I've looked at, and you know, San Bernardino is kind of out of the question now because I don't know. I just, San Bernardino just gives me the boo boo jeebies, bro. but probably anywhere in the IE, maybe, and preferably like near SGV. But that's something that, you know, we're exploring, but we'll see. Did you say, damn, dude, you need ante ojos, way? Okay, way. Okay, so. Anthony says, should I move to Rhode Island if they had sports teams? Rhode Island. Menifee, damn, dude. Now you're traveling to the outskirts of fucking California, dude. I've known people that moved to Imperial Valley, and they're like, what the fuck did I do? I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know where the fucking Imperial Valley is as on the fucking map. So, but yeah, I mean, growth, contribution, because obviously, like, I always talk about this shit, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and then Tony Robbins and Dr. Chloe Madonis had their own interpretation of it with the 6 human needs. It's all fucking universal, man. I mean, the first 3 is just the needs of the ego. And I do a great job of fulfilling each 3, each one of them. It's certainty, variety, significance, and love and connection is the 4th one, sorry. And the last 2 is growth and contribution. I mean, there's 6 of them. And, you know, those are the last 2 that are really, really difficult to fill. And you start off, like, for example, me having a child, the growth and contribution part kind of comes naturally, unless you're a total deadbeat, which, you know, I know a lot of people who are, unfortunately. But the first four needs of the ego, you know, I've met doing several things, you know, playing music, you know, going out with the homies and drinking beer. You know, when I was single and doing the Playboy thing, whatever. But then you realize, like, okay, you find how to fulfill those first four needs, and then what? You get stuck. So, yeah. Got to grow. You got to contribute. You got to grow. Got to contribute. That's easier said than done, though, because you can't just do it just because. It's got to come from a really genuine place. So, yeah, crazy. Anyway, I wanted to limit myself to an hour, and I did that. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Let's bookmark some of the shit we talked about, and we'll see you on the next podcast. And I'll probably have Roger on. So. Peace out.